Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Rural TDs took aim at the Climate Action Bill, which was introduced into the Dáil yesterday, denouncing it as rushed, ill-conceived and anti-Irish. Well, the Green Party leader Eamon Ryan insisted Ireland is ready to show leadership and could no longer be described as laggards on environmental issues. The measures in the bill will lock future governments into strict climate targets, but some believe the measures are just a step too far. And I'm joined on the line now by Dennis Nocton, independent TD for Roscommon Galway, and Senator Roisin Garvey, Rural Development Spokesperson for the Green Party. You're both very welcome. Dennis Nocton, I want to start with you because your comments yesterday, you claimed that this bill is anti-Irish and anti-democratic and that it will take decision-making away from the Oireachtas in a way that not even Stalin would have tried. Why say such a thing? Is Dennis Nocton there? Dennis Nocton is not there. Okay, Roisin Garvey, we'll bring you in here on this. You heard my comments there, reiterating what Dennis said yesterday when this bill was introduced to the Dáil. Were you shocked that Dennis Nocton took such a stance?
I was, because it was a pity. He had plenty of time to get involved in the pre-legislative scrutiny, you know, and he didn't ever ask to come to the committee or challenge the experts that were in there when all the hard work was being done. So that would have been a good time for him to contribute. And, like, secondly, this is a carbon target. So each year the government, the Oireachtas, will be deciding how they reach that target. You know, that is up for each Dáil to decide as new governments come and go. So, you know, he makes it sound like it's all set in stone already, but just the targets are, and those targets we need to meet.
Do you accept, though, that some people are very upset about the measures in this bill? When you hear Michael Healy-Rae blaming pollution in Asia for harming the environment, not a person in Ireland with a turf fire.
Yeah, but I mean, that debate is so long over. Like, per capita, we have double our carbon footprint than lots of other people. You know, so on average, the average person in Ireland is producing double. And it's, you know, you can't separate and blame the Asians, and we have no responsibility. Everybody has to step up to this. This is a global issue, but it's also a local issue, because locally we struggle to have any kind of decent transport system. We struggle with air pollution. We struggle with finding an Irish potato because we're importing 72,000 tonnes of potatoes. Mm-hmm. This is good locally and globally, because you also have farmers struggling with losing land to flooding and extreme weather conditions. So we can pretend it's not happening, or we can try and support the people that actually will suffer most.
Well, Dennis Nocton is back with us. Dennis, while we were getting you back on the line there, Roisin Garvey, when I put to her your criticisms of this bill, when you said it was anti-Irish and anti-democratic, and you said that not even Stalin would have tried to take decision making away from the Oireachtas in the way that this is done, she said that you didn't do any of the hard work on this bill by attending the Joint Oireachtas Committee.
Well, look, first of all, I've made a number of detailed submissions to the Oireachtas Committee, which have been ignored. Now, can I say at the outset, look, I believe that we do need a new law, but because I didn't have the legal tools that was available now proposed this legislation when I was Minister for the Environment. And just to give you a practical example of that, in January 2018, the Cabinet took a decision that they would purchase no new fossil fuel buses for the public transport fleet. It will be January 2023 before the first electric double-decker bus is on our street. So I understand the frustrations that are there and the ones that have been articulated by Roisin. The difficulty is here in relation to the legislation that is currently before the Dáil is that it is undemocratic.
And anti-Irish. That's a very serious thing to say.
It is, yeah. And let me explain. First of all, the reason that it's undemocratic is we have a bizarre situation that if this climate budget is rejected by the Dáil, then the minister can bring in whatever proposals he likes within the following 60 days. And it's akin to the Minister for Finance presenting a five-year taxation plan before the Dáil, and the Dáil rejecting that taxation plan, and the minister within 60 days bringing in any taxation measures he likes without having to provide any detail on how he's going to spend that money over the 5 years or how much money he's going to allocate to each government department. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so Roisin, that's wrong.
Roisin, hang on 1 second. I want to bring in Roisin on that, because that is the bit that upset Dennis Nocton so much and led him to say that this would take decision-making away from the Oireachtas in a way that not even Stalin would have tried.
But, I mean, what have we to decide on? That we don't have to have carbon targets, or we do? This is just saying that we have to have carbon targets, and how do we reach them in each department? And each department will decide that for themselves. That isn't dictated by one minister. But it's an allocation of a carbon target, you know what I mean?
The difficulty here, Roisin, is that the Dáil has absolutely no input in relation to it. Now, if we were bringing in any financial measures, and you were saying that the Dáil had no opportunity to accept or reject that legislation, you rightly would be opposed to it. And that is the fundamental problem that I have here, that the Dáil cannot reject a specific carbon budget. If it does, you hand a blank cheque to the minister of the day to set out the rules and conditions for the next 5 years without any engagement in the bureaucracy.
But
is wrong.
But Dennis, this is an emergency, and I know that you know that because you were minister in this department, as you said, former environment climate minister. So if you were in office, would we have a plan to reach carbon neutrality by 2050, or would we just be pushing it out again?
No, we have to reach carbon neutrality by 2050. I fully accept that. I accept that we do need new laws and strengthened laws in this area. But what I'm saying is that there are elements of this particular legislation that are wrong. And if you look at a crisis, and we have a crisis, if you look at the financial crisis that we had in this country just over a decade ago, we did not legislate the Dáil out of existence. Every proposal had to be brought before the Dáil, had to be debated and voted on in the Dáil, and if it was rejected in the Dáil, the government had to go back and come forward with new proposals. What we're saying here is that if this is rejected by the Dáil, the minister will, within 60 days, bring in whatever he likes. Mm-hmm. That's wrong.
Okay, Dennis, just let me clarify something. This is the pre-legislative scrutiny part is done, but it's still not too late for you to put in a technical amendment. But, I mean, you had the opportunity to come to the Climate Committee and challenge that and bring that to the... But you didn't say that until you had the TV on you yesterday. And I've heard your story about the electric bus. That's great, but we are so far gone from one electric bus. This debate is over, and you know that, Dennis. You are an educated man. You know about climate. I saw you making promises to the kids at the green schools. We promised that we would do all we could, and I understand that you're on the same side in some ways. But I think you're wrong there saying that this means that one minister can write checks and decide everything, because you know that's not true. There'll be a carbon allocation for each department, and each department will decide how they want to reach that target, and they'll be in charge of the budgets. This debate is over around climate change. I mean, I really think we need to move forward now. And maybe if you were in government as opposed to in opposition, you might not be bringing it to the table so late in the day. You might have been engaged sooner. It's just a pity. But it's not.
Were you not engaged, Dennis? Do you accept that criticism?
Excuse me, Roisin. The legislative process has started. We're at the second stage of legislation of 10 steps in it. Committee stage will be the next stage. I will be putting forward amendments in relation to that. And I look forward to active engagement on those amendments. As I say, I think we need legislation.
So Eamon Ryan this morning said, Dennis, that the hard work is done on this at the joint Oireachtas committee. And that's where a consensus was reached. So Roisin's point is that you didn't engage with that process and you waited until the television cameras were on you to raise your objections.
No, I raised it on the floor of Parliament, which is my job.
You could have requested to come into committee and challenge them there when they were working on it.
Roisin,
you had your chance.
That is not the case, Roisin. And if you
that
look
is the
at,
case.
If no, Roisin, I'm 24 years in Dáil Éireann. I know how the legislative system works. The committee stage of the legislation is where legislation is changed and amended. That's procedure hasn't started yet and won't start for a number of months. And I look forward to engaging with the minister in relation to that. And I would hope that Roisin and her colleagues go in with an open mind and are prepared to listen constructively and engage with concerns, genuine concerns that are being expressed regarding.
Okay, so it's not Stalinist then. It's not too late for you to be engaging. So it's not Stalinist. We're still able to come to the table together and figure this out.
But
it's not Roisin,
Roisin, you've already said that it's too late. You're saying that
Eamon
Ryan already on
late.
The radio this morning has said that this is a fait accompli. That's the difficulty here. You're talking about legislating the Dáil out of existence.
But that is the problem here, Dennis, that you missed the boat because you didn't engage with the Joint Oireachtas Committee, because you seem to be poo-pooing that a little bit. You say the hard work comes later, but actually it's already done, and had you wanted to effect change, involvement in that process was key.
No, absolutely not. The pre-legislative scrutiny process, which has taken place, is not dealing with the legislation itself. The legislation itself was published after the pre-legislative process. It is now before the Dáil for second stage. It will then go on to committee stage, where a detailed analysis of the legislation will take place. That is where the heavy lifting regarding any piece of legislation takes place. That has always been the case since
all
the
right,
foundation
but let's,
of the
let's,
stage.
Let's okay, bring well, it back to one second now. I want to bring some messages in here from listeners who are very engaged on this subject. And Dennis, this listener says, if we don't act on climate, we'll reduce the choices available to future generations by leaving them a wrecked environment. The rural TDs can't hold our future to ransom.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. My difficulty is, and as I've consistently said, is the approach that's been taken in relation to this legislation. And that's the difficulty. What we're talking about here is taking European models to address climate challenges and trying to shoehorn them into an Irish situation rather than dealing with the challenges that we have here in Ireland. For example, in terms of rural transport, you know, we can invest all we like in public transport, but that's not going to deal with the unique challenges we have in Ireland in terms of transport. By investing in broadband, that will make a significant difference in the need for people to actually travel and commute to work. And we've seen during the first lockdown, there was a 17% reduction in transport emissions. Now, I wouldn't expect that as a result of the investment in broadband, but we can look at double-digit reductions in transport emissions. The other thing is, in relation to motor tax, we should be structuring our motor tax system in this country based on the actual emissions from vehicles, not on the manufacturer's claims when the car rolls out of the factory. That itself could reduce transport emissions in this country somewhere between 12 and 18%. So that's the type of initiatives that we need to do if we're going to tackle.
But
the
is that not tinkering
have.
Though? This bill is will change all of our lives once it comes to pass. What you're suggesting are making small interventions, sectoral interventions. What's needed is a whole societal change, which is what this bill is. The Green Party would say.
And no one is saying no to those ideas that Dennis is bringing, you know, here today. Like, that's, nobody's saying no to those things. This is to make sure that we have a target in each department. And some of those ideas that Dennis have could be manifested. But, I mean, this is to do with how we're going to do things on a national scale. We've all got great ideas and how we reach it, and we could talk about that all day. But today we're talking about this bill, and this kind of bill sets out proper targets for every sector that will get us where we hopefully will be, so we can protect our land, protect our people, protect our air.
Yeah, you see, Roisin, the problem might be with this is the communication of it. And, you know, if people in rural Ireland feel as though they're being bombarded with these measures that are frightening because the changes are so different, and people are already seeing.
What's frightening them? People
already see that if they go to buy a bale of briquettes, right? They're buying one from another country because they can't buy an Irish one anymore. That's a tiny thing, right? Then you move on to how this is going to affect my farm that I've run in this way for the last 30, 40, 50 years. People are afraid of change. You know that. We all know that. So is it about how this is being communicated?
No, I think it's how it's been miscommunicated by some public representatives who all they have is this one trick pony, or we care about rural Ireland and the government don't. That's where the scaremongering is happening. It's not the actual bill. Because, for instance, the bale of briquettes, I mean, it's ridiculous we're even discussing that. Those rural TDs know damn well manufacturing of briquettes is continuing with 2024. So Michael Healy-Rae and them, it's actually lying, saying that they have to sell this foreign import when they know damn well they can still buy. I bought briquettes the other day myself in the local co-op. So, you know, this is, we have to stop scared. They're scaremongering. It's not frightening at all. What it is actually giving rural
Dennis, Ireland do you want to come in on that point? And I'm just, yeah, do you know no, what? No. I'm just using the briquettes as an example of how this affects people's real lives.
The difficulty is here. Look, I have been in government. I have been the climate minister. I know the struggles and challenges that are there. And the difficulty with the way this legislation is drafted is that, yes, there will be targets set for every government department in terms of the removal or the upgrading of homes in terms of home heating, in terms of transport. All of these are very complex issues and will take time to implement. The difficulty is that we have a benchmark in 2025 and in 2030. Now, I suspect we'll probably be looking at somewhere like a 15 to 20% reduction in overall emissions by 2025, a 52% reduction by 2030. Now, the difficulty is the way this legislation is structured will mean that there's a built-in incentive for many government departments to sit on their hands and do nothing and allow agriculture carry the can when it comes to that threshold in 2025 and see a reduction in overall stock numbers. And again, in 2030.
Right. Really quick response, Roisin, and then I have to go.
Sorry, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why he is saying that. Transport is a bigger contributor than agriculture.
Okay.
Look, everything has to change in every section. It's ridiculous to say it's all going to be blamed on agriculture. Right. That's completely untrue.
Senator Roisin Garvey and TD Dennis Nocton, thank you both very much indeed for joining us.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.